The Menominee Tribe in Wisconsin voted this week to legalize medicinal and recreational marijuana use on its lands. The decision to hold a vote came after a 2014 announcement by the U.S. Justice Department, which could give some tribes the okay to grow and sell marijuana on reservations.
The decision brings up a number of legal issues about how the tribe might implement a growing and selling operation and when they'll get started.
We're joined now by the chairman of the Menominee Tribe, Gary Bisa. Gary, welcome to Central Time.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
And also Richard Monette is joining us. Richard is a law professor and the director of the Great Lakes Indigenous Law Center. Richard, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Well, Gary, let's start with you. What sparked the tribe's decision to hold a vote now on legalizing the use and sale of marijuana?
Well, after the United States Department of Justice sent out a memo, they call it the Cole memo, that talked about a way to satisfy the dilemma of states that had legalized marijuana when it is still illegal federally. The U.S. Department of Justice sent a memo to all of the U.S. attorney generals, and they said they could apply the following guidelines to the land that the districts that they had federal jurisdiction over. And when tribal nations saw that, they said, what about us? We're in essence sovereign nations. What would you do, U.S. Department of Justice, if we also had legalized marijuana within our reservation? And that kind of started that ball rolling, that in essence they said, well, almost similar to how we might give the discretion to prosecute to that U.S. Attorney General if that state, for instance, Colorado, met certain guidelines or stayed within certain guidelines as they developed their regulatory system and it was rigorous enough, and they made sure, for instance, that in selling, growing and processing and selling marijuana in Colorado, that they made sure that it wasn't getting into the hands of minors, there wasn't drugged driving involved, that it wasn't leaving the state of Colorado where it was legal and going into states where it is illegal, let's say Kansas. So they said fairly similar to that, that could happen with tribal governments. That's what the U.S. Department of Justice told the U.S. Attorney Generals, and in our case, it would be the U.S. Attorney General in the Eastern District of Wisconsin who has that federal jurisdiction over the part of the state that we live in.
So let me turn to Richard for a moment. So Richard, the legal arguments of jurisdiction, state versus federal jurisdiction on reservations can be confusing. Can you explain to us how the Menominee Tribe differs from the other tribes in Wisconsin in this respect?
Yeah, I can give you the 2-minute version. And really sort of 5 points to keep in mind. The first point to remember is that the states did not originally have this kind of jurisdiction over tribes at all. And it's important to start there because people think that naturally the states have it and somehow Menominee's working some sort of exception or exemption. And, of course, there'd have to be something accepted or exempted from, right? And that's not the case here. So that's the starting point. The second and third starting points are in 1953, Congress passed two acts. One was called the Termination Act, and the other is roughly called an Assimilation Act that we refer to by the federal law number, Public Law 83-280, or in the short, we just say 280. And Menominee was the only tribe in the state subjected to the Termination Act. It terminated the legal and political relationship between the tribe and the United States. And it was a miserable experiment to start with.
And why were the Menominee singled out?
Because the idea was that they were capable of sustaining themselves. They had a robust timbering industry. They had some other things going on. And the thought was that if they no longer had this special relationship, they would thrive quite well in the regular world. it didn't turn out that way for a variety of reasons, most of which were not Menominee's fault. So the other 1953 Act transferred criminal jurisdiction or gave criminal jurisdiction to the state of Wisconsin, and it did that only to five or six states. Those second and third points are very important to remember and to keep in mind. So if we fast forward 18 years, in 1971, the Menominee tribe sought and got a restoration of their legal and political relationship. And in the course of that happening, Wisconsin recognized that both the termination and assimilation laws had been miserable failures. And so Wisconsin agreed that if Menominee's relationship was restored, that Menominee would not be subject to the Second Act, to PL 280. So today,
which would have put them under the state jurisdiction along with those other tribes.
The criminal jurisdiction, that's right. So that's sort of that 1971 is the fourth important point. There's one more important point, and then we can go on to other questions. But it is important to remember that regarding the second 1953 Act, the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, has ruled that the federal statute transferred criminal jurisdiction to Wisconsin, but not regulatory. And so that's why we're also hearing that the other 10 tribes are saying they may have a mechanism to do this as well.
Saying that marijuana growing and selling would fall under regulatory, not...
Not prohibitory, right. Not criminal.
Hmm.
And so they argue that they would be able to do it as well. Now, obviously, Menominee's argument is the stronger one, but the others also have a argument. So that's why this is becoming so fascinating.
So we are talking about the Menominee tribe's vote to legalize recreational and medicinal marijuana use on the reservation. Let's turn back to Gary Bisaw, who's chairman of the Menominee tribe. Gary, you've said before, especially in light of the fact that the Menominee casino bid was rejected by Governor Walker, you said that the Menominee tribe can't turn its back on any potential revenue sources. How do you exactly see that growing and selling marijuana would be an economic benefit for the tribe?
Well, there's actually several benefits that we are researching. While economic may be a benefit, if you had seen the numbers regarding the two questions, whether the tribe should allow recreational use of cannabis for adults 21 or older, that passed at a 57.8% approval. But should the Menominee tribe allow the medicinal use of cannabis, passed at a resounding 76.5% approval. So the concept or the recognition that correctly monitored and controlled, there is medicinal value to marijuana for PTSD patients and veterans, for cancer patients, for chronic pain. I mean, I can't discount those or turn my back. I know those are real. But when we look at the whole concept of economic, originally, when we put this together, we put this advisory referendum. And by the way, when you couch this is an advisory referendum. It's not binding on the tribal legislature, but it's rather advisory in nature. So, as I was saying, when we first put this out, we wanted to know, should we take our limited resources and commit more time and more effort into researching the development of tribal law, tribal ordinance, that speaks to either allowing recreational or medicinal use. So instead of using our limited resources, we said, first, let's get the temperature of the tribal members. Should we even do this before we commit more resources to it? And when we put this out originally, we did not know exactly the interpretation on the U.S. Department of Justice guidelines that our local U.S. Attorney General might have. One of those talks about you can't take it from a state that is legal into a state that's illegal. Well, we believe that interpretation, and each attorney general can interpret them differently, you know, that's allowed. They say that may not just be speaking geographically, so maybe not just from a physical place to another physical mm-hmm. place, but within our jurisdiction for victimless crimes, the state has jurisdiction over non-natives, even on the reservation. So
Gary, let me ask you something. Do you think that the Menominee tribe would even be considering this if the casino had been approved?
Considering the benefits of medicinal cannabis and our unique status, jurisdictional status, I think we would have. It would have removed the other argument about the need for additional revenue, but I think knowing the benefits medicinally, I think we would have.
And Gary, one last question for you before we let you go. So you made a point of saying that this was an advisory referendum. It did pass pretty strongly, especially for the medicinal use of marijuana. What's the next step for the tribe at this point?
Well, the next step is we need to really research from other jurisdictions what any laws that have been passed in other jurisdictions that have legalized that, what laws have been passed and their impact in whether it's economically, socially, medicinally. We need to look and cherry pick some of those best practices for ourselves to look at. We also need to speak with each of the legal entities that either have jurisdiction or would be impacted by a decision, and we need to put all of that as well as the U.S. Department of Justice guidelines into the development of these ordinances. And these are real formative. The tribal members will have input, but it's a long, drawn-out process. We're like any other legislative body. We have a very complicated system for legislation development. So, we see this as a long process. Whatever happens, we know that we need to make sure that the welfare of our community is not at risk. So it's going to be a cautious approach.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Gary.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate the time.
That was Gary Bisaw, chairman of the Menominee Tribe, joining us to talk about the tribe's decision to legalize marijuana use on their lands. We'll continue this conversation with legal expert Richard Monette.
And we want to hear from you. What is your reaction to the Menominee Tribe voting to legalize marijuana on their reservation? Do you have any questions for Richard about what legal issues could come up? And do you agree or disagree with their decision as it stands so far? Let us know at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or leave us a comment on the Central Time Facebook page. We're talking to law professor Richard Monette about the Menominee Tribe's vote to legalize marijuana on their lands this week.
And you can join the conversation. What's your reaction to the Menominee Tribe legalizing marijuana on their reservation? Do you have any questions for Richard about what legal issues might arise? In general, do you agree or disagree with the referendum decision? Let us know at 800-642-1234 or leave us a comment on the Central Time Facebook page. Well, Richard, as you mentioned earlier, this decision is possible because of the different jurisdictions that are in play on tribal lands. But the decision of the Department of Justice under President Obama might change under a new president. How might a new presidential administration change things? Do they have power?
Sure. It's important to know that this is just a policy determination from the administration. Public Law 280 was not repealed. The marijuana laws were not repealed. And so in 15 months, we could have a new presidential administration that decides to come in and says, well, I'm sorry, but we are going to enforce these federal laws. Now, one of the points that Chairman Bisaw makes is fascinating here, actually, is the states and the tribes have become bedfellows here. They both are saying, we're pushing back against the federal government. We are sort of the old Newt Gingrich line, that we're closer and more accountable to the people, and the states and the tribes are both saying that. So when the states have been pushing back and legalizing marijuana in the face of federal laws, the department is now and will be, no matter who the president is, sort of confronted with that rather difficult sort of question. So what do we do about the Indian tribes that are surrounded by these states that are legalizing it, right? And so to me, this is just a fascinating exercise, and really not just in law, but in political theory, watching our federalism work, watching sort of a parallel federalism between the states and the Fed and the tribes and the Fed. It's just been fascinating. So, and it's going to get better.
So part of it is decisions on how much, what a priority it is or isn't to enforce these laws. But what if a new presidential, well, there will be a new presidential administration, whether it's Democratic or Republican, what options are available for changing the policy itself, not just saying this is a priority or this is a low priority?
Well, it will be, and on the one hand, easy with the, just the, you know, sweep of the hand to change policy. What will be difficult will be to treat the tribes differently than they're treating the states. And so if there's a pushback against the tribes, we're assuming, I think rightfully, that there will be a pushback against the states that have been sort of thumping their states' rights chest and legalizing marijuana. Mm-hmm. So they're going to go hand in hand here, and that's not usually the way it happens.
I think one of the interesting things about this is that, of course, there's the question of, will this marijuana be available on the tribal lands just to tribal members or to people from the surrounding area, the non-tribal people that live nearby or come to the reservation? And it's interesting because this seems to be very similar to casinos. I mean, obviously, it is not just Native Americans who are going to Indian casinos. It's everyone. And so does that set something of a precedent?
This is a thicket of Rubik's Cube proportions here. So the analogy to gaming, I think, is appropriate. If the state says, well, our citizens will have sort of state law following them onto the Menominee Reservation, and if it's illegal in the state, you won't go to Menominee and buy it or use it or anything. So if that flies, then what about gambling? Can the state then say, citizens of the state of Wisconsin, we don't care if Menominee can have a casino under federal law. If you go there and use their casino, it's a crime, right? Mm-hmm. there are some fascinating inconsistencies, or maybe consistencies, coming up with this discussion. In some ways, I can't wait.
Although it is interesting, because I think probably one of the concerns is that if marijuana, especially recreational marijuana, is sold on a reservation, it's a lot easier to carry a baggie of recreational marijuana off of the reservation than, say, to carry a slot machine out of a casino.
That's a fair analogy, but it's also probably just as fair to say it's a lot easier to carry legal marijuana from another state when they get around to it, like Minnesota, than it will be from a reservation. In my opinion, even though the reservations are right in our midst, non-Indians going back and forth across, especially that border at Menominee, maybe not so much at Oneida, but that border, that's a relatively discreet action. But, you know, that's different from coming across from Minnesota, where every, you know, hundreds of thousands of people come across every
right.
week.
Let's go to the phones, and Jack in Antioch, Illinois is up first. Hi, Jack.
Hi. First of all, I think this is a fascinating topic, and I want to be very specific. There's no gray area in my thinking. I'm 100% behind the Menominee Tribes Initiative. I just read an account by Simon Winchester about Wounded Knee, and it was such a tragic situation, and it reminded me what my mom taught me. We broke every treaty you can possibly imagine with the First Nations or the Native American Indian tribes, and I am 100% in favor of this very thoughtful initiative behind the Menominee tribe in this regard. I think it's about time we do more for these First Nation peoples in this country, and there's no gray area in my thinking. It's 100% in favor.
All right. Well, thank you for that comment, Jack. And let's stay on the phones and go to Ben in Toma next. Hi, Ben.
Hi. I just wanted to call in and say, excited I was about this conversation. I'm a dialysis kidney disease patient that moved to Colorado to, participate with medical marijuana for medical reasons. And I just think it's very positive that it's coming to the state of Wisconsin, and that I'm proud of the Native American population for taking up that cause. And that's really, what I wanted to say. I also agree with the gentleman that called before, and that, you know, we definitely broke a lot of treaties with the Native Americans, and it's about time they pick something up and do something for themselves, and I'm very proud of them for doing this. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Ben. And Richard Monette, actually, the two calls kind of brought up different aspects of the issue. So the Menominee had two different referenda, and one was for medical, medicinal marijuana, and one was for recreational. Would those two functions or uses of marijuana fall under different jurisdictions or different policies?
I think... Excuse me. I think it's safe to say that they will not and they should not fall under different policies. But you and I both know that there are different policy considerations transporting medicinal marijuana across the borders and, you know, getting it into the stream of commerce where, in fact, it is used, including in Wisconsin, as opposed to, you know, having recreational drugs going across the borders. So, well, like it or not, that's going to be a factor. But for the basic lay of the land, the jurisdiction should not change.
But if that's the case, why have two separate referenda, or why treat them differently?
Well, I don't think that they did this advisory referenda for us. I think they did it for them. So their people wanted to make the decision whether they would have recreational, you know, use laws, possession, growing, etc., in their midst, or whether they would ensure that their government has maintained tighter controls, probably certified, licensed, you know, single dispensary from the tribe, etc. Mm-hmm. So it was more for them than for us.
So in just a minute or so we have left, what are we going to be looking at for doing, what's going to be the next step for the tribe in determining if it's legal or not?
I think since the advisory passed that their legislature has gotten to work already figuring out what they're going to do here, and I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Richard Monette, thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
That was Richard Monette, a law professor, talking about the Menominee Tribe's referenda on legalizing marijuana on their reservation.